Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to Boarding Party. This is the podcast where I, Jackie Jennings, your host, talk to a bunch of today's funniest comedians about their secret, or most of the time not so secret, obsessions with fantasy, with sci-fi, with horror, with anything that's in genre, as they say. And today I'm very excited. My guest is a great friend of mine and an extremely talented comedian, Z-Way. She was recently profiled by the New York Times. She writes for Desus and Marrow. She's written for a bunch more shows. She has her web series, Baited, that is super popular. And disclaimer, I also help make. Z-Way is lovely, and she is here to tell us all about her number one genre obsession, X-Men. So stay tuned, because we are coming at you with some very hot boarding party. Hey, Z-Way. What's
Hi,
up?
Hi, Jackie.
I'm so glad that you're here.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Thanks for doing it. Day after, just for some like cultural context, this is the day after the Game of Thrones finale.
Yes, we have a lot of opinions.
We have so many opinions. We're not going to talk about
that much. Not at all. It's actually a tease.
Okay, so this podcast is all about comedians.
Yeah.
Who are also geeks.
In cars, getting coffee.
Comedians in cars, getting coffee. That's what it is, but it's a podcast, so you just have to take our word for it. I emailed you, I was like, will you be on this podcast? I did. And your immediate reply was like, yes, I can talk about X-Men.
I love X-Men. Yes, I love them.
Okay, that is something. So we've worked together, known each other for a while.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
I keep all of my dearest things close to the chest.
Yeah, you keep it a secret. Yes. It's like, yeah.
I don't want people to know that I know who Mystique is, and she is my style icon.
Wait a minute.
I just want to be covered in blue paint perpetually.
We absolutely, we'll get to that. That is insane. Mystique, she's naked.
Yeah, she's naked. Exactly. She's free.
She is free. And she has, I had this conversation with someone the other day where like, are they vines? What is covering?
Pasties.
Yeah.
She grows pasties.
She just grows pasties, yes, over her boobs.
Exactly.
Well, what a style icon. A truly free.
And I like the Rebecca Romijn one as well as Jennifer Lawrence. I respect the different nudity they bring to the table.
They do bring different styles of nudity. How would you... I mean, look, we're off to the races. We'll get back to all the relevant questions.
Yeah.
But like, if you had to, how would you describe Rebecca Romijn nudity with Mystique versus Jennifer Lawrence?
I think it's about poise versus casual.
Wow.
Like, Jennifer Lawrence is the Mystique that you can like get a beer with, but Rebecca Romijn, you're getting a Chardonnay.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
She's ordering the nicest white wine on the menu. Still naked,
but having fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Jennifer Lawrence Mystique might be like, I'm naked.
She's like, yo, blue power. Whereas Rebecca Romijn is like, I'm blue. I'm here. I'm true. I'm tried. You know,
it's just a different
like vibe.
It is a very different vibe. I love that.
A testament to their acting.
Yeah. They're different personal styles. Okay. Backing it up ever so slightly. What was your introduction to X-Men?
The Saturday morning cartoons on the WB.
Whoa.
Yeah, dude. So I was, obviously Magneto is this like flawed character who has been persecuted in history. And so he's just radical. And I can respect that perspective as a villain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you. That was one of my bullet points, because I want to know your perspective on Magneto. I'm newer to X-Men.
Okay.
I've been rewatching kind of in anticipation of Dark Phoenix, like getting into all
the movies. Yeah. I love the Phoenix as well. Jean Grey is a star.
A
supernova.
Yes.
Yes.
I love that she's getting her own movie.
I know, finally.
A lot of the X-Men movies felt like they were, I think it's The Last Stand, whichever one where she unlocks her Phoenix powers.
Yeah.
Like, this is a Jean Grey movie, you're just not going
to
say it.
Exactly. And it's all this buildup, and we don't get to experience the Phoenix like in its entirety.
Something's happening to me. When I lose control, bad things happen.
So
Magneto is a character.
Yes.
I feel really drawn to it too. And rewatching it, I feel like the movies sometimes treat him as more of a villain than I think he is.
Yeah, I think so as well. Yeah. They don't have the nuance that I'd love. Like the cartoons had a lot of nuance. The animations were very particular about this guy just having like a horrible childhood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so talk about, so Yang Ziwei.
Yes.
Is watching.
Yeah, and the song would come on, that song that was like, yeah, and I'd be like, yeah, rock out loud, 5 years old. Like, yeah. Yeah.
So were your parents, cartoons are always a touchy thing in my house. Like,
oh, really?
What? Well,
I watched every single animation. I love animation.
Okay, I think this says, I as an adult have a very hard time connecting to any.
Really?
BoJack is the only animated
really?
Show. Yes, I don't know what is broken about me, but I have a really hard time like connecting.
What is it?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, but maybe I didn't watch enough as kids.
Maybe. You didn't watch TV as a child.
I did, but there were certain things. My parents had like weird standards what, and I think looking back, it's just what they liked.
Mm.
Like I wasn't allowed to watch Friends, but I could watch Airplane. Like what?
Just because they didn't like Friends.
They just didn't want to watch
That's
Friends.
That's hilarious.
Now I'm like, oh, I get it.
I respect that as an adult with children.
Yeah, I do now. My mom's like, that's bad. And just puts on like Melrose Place.
Yeah, I'm like
what?
I'm like, hey, little Timmy, watch Real Housewives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Truly, that's like what it
that's
was.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I think that was the standard. Okay, so you're watching Saturday morning cartoons.
Yep, with like Static Shock, like X-Men, Spider-Man, like all of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why do you think X-Men grabbed you in a way that maybe other ones didn't? Or maybe they did.
Well, they all did. I'm grabbed perpetually by cartoons in my nightmares. That would be terrifying. But X-Men, honestly, it's just the story of like these persecuted people. Like, because Professor Xavier has a similar background of being like alienated and a rich little boy.
Yeah.
So I just like the idea of these two people coming at this isolation from different aspects and like seeing the good and the evil. I think it has a really fun origin story. And then it's about like the, I really wanted to be an X-Man. I was hoping as a child that I would like grow in, you know, all those dumb kids to be Harry Potter, but I wanted to like, they wanted to get like, you know, the letter from Hogwarts. I wanted to like be a mutant at age 13 and like fly or like scream and like shatter glass. Yeah.
So I do think that is so many good stories like X-Men or like Harry Potter. Part of why they're so fun for kids or adults is they have this mythology that it could be anyone.
It could be anyone, yeah. And I also, I loved Harry Potter, don't get me wrong. But X-Men, I was just like, I want powers! You know, I want to go to like a mansion in like upstate New York, like sure.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah.
Take me to Rhinebeck. Let me figure out that my mutant power is, I don't know. Well, okay, if you had to pick. This is for
Jean Grey is my favorite. She has the best powers, I think.
Yeah. She has all powers.
Exactly. So that's the situation I want.
Yeah. All powers.
All
powers. So why pick one when you can be Jean Grey?
Exactly. She's by far the strongest, and I don't think she got enough respect.
So, okay, that's a great... Let's move forward. So, Yang Ziwei.
Forward. Like Obama. Progress.
Yeah, let's make progress together.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. Si se puedes. wait, is that it in Spanish?
Si se puede. Yes, yes, we can.
Yeah, okay,
great. From Gotta Kick It Up, a Disney Channel original movie.
Oh, my God. All right, so Yang Ziwei, enamored.
I have an encyclopedic knowledge of, like, before the early aughts.
Well, yeah, that I guess that is the early aughts.
Yeah.
So you're in love with X-Men.
I am.
Okay. What's next? Like, so cartoons, you're five. They probably at some point fall out of your life.
No, they
right?
never fell out of my life.
Oh my
God. I still watch cartoons. I voice in animation. Yeah.
Wait, that's right.
Yeah, dude. I love that.
I saw that.
Thank you. Yeah.
You're on Cartoon President.
Yeah, I'm Kamala Harris.
That's wild.
Kamala, how'd you like to be rumored to be my running mate till I end up choosing Tim Kaine?
Joe, the party has passed you by. Beating you will be easier than denying a trans inmate corrective surgery so they can fight wildfires instead.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm excited. I love animations. It's so cool.
You do?
Yeah, dude.
This makes
They're
so
awesome.
This is like a thread.
Yes,
yeah. Throughout your life.
Yeah, I'm living my childhood fantasies as an adult. Truly.
You voice Kamala Harris on Cartoon President. Is there any... Well, I don't know. Do you not want to? I was going to say, like...
Can I do the voice? Is it what you're asking?
Or not even can you do the voice, but, like, is there anything that you latch on to do her? Is there, like...
Yes, her Kavanaugh hearing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, you
mean...
Because that was intense.
It was so intense.
Yeah, and so that's, to me, when I see this person realized.
Yeah. Yeah. Where it's like she is powerful just sitting there.
Yeah, exactly. She's a prosecutor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She is a prosecutor. She's so... Can you imagine walking into a courtroom and that you're just like...
I'd be like, whoa!
Send me now. Like, I'm done. You just become a ghost. Yes.
I'm Alex Mack. I turn into liquid.
Oh, my God. Alex Mack.
Shout out
to Alex Mack. I remember that. That was like a formative thing of every...
All
boy and a lot of girls having a big crush on Larissa Olenek.
Yes.
She was like the hottie.
She was a cool kid. She wore her hat backward.
She wore a damn hat backward.
You kind of remind me of Alex Mack. Like,
that is
an Alex Mack vibe.
Thank you so much. I routinely, in the brief period of time I worked on the Chris Gethard show, I would always pitch a character for me to play that was connected to nothing called Alex Mack but for piss.
And wow.
It was just... A girl who was in the same accident as Alex Mack, except she turned into a puddle of piss.
Oh, no. That's disgusting.
It's really
it's so good. So good.
It never made it.
Damn it.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. Okay. So cartoons have always been there.
Yes.
What was like the next phase of X-Men? Was it the movies?
The movies. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. The movies. Logan obviously was a huge hottie to me. I always struggled with like, what's his name? Cyclops?
Yeah. Scott.
Scott. So Scott and Logan would always beef over Jean Grey. And it's like the choice is so clear.
The choice is obvious.
Yes. Like Scott was never the one for her.
I know. But they were together since they were little.
Yes.
They had this like... friend, they, you know what it
he
was.
He can't see without his visor.
Let's go to the early aughts. It was Pacey versus Dawson.
It was.
Yes.
Totally.
Scott is Dawson. It's like, yeah, you were always there for me or whatever, but
Pacey is the actualized version of who you want to be. And
yeah.
So is Logan.
Yeah.
And Logan loved Jean Grey.
Loved.
Yes.
Okay. So let's talk. So you see these, there are these characters that you've loved since they were animated.
Yeah.
Then they become people.
They become people. I loved it. I ate it up.
So you loved it. There wasn't any.
I ate it up. Well, obviously, it's flawed. You have a version of the film that you want it to be. But
yeah.
I don't care. Like, I still enjoyed the process and I enjoyed the the CGI and just seeing, like, Patrick Stewart as Professor Xavier. That's great casting. Like,
it is
honestly.
So good.
Yeah.
And also, let's talk about Ian McKellen is Magneto.
It's so perfect. Like, these two could not be better foils for each other.
They're so good.
The acting was incredible. I have no complaints.
Yeah. That is a friendship for the ages.
Yeah.
And also, like, what a gift those two men are to that franchise.
Truly set the tone for what X-Men could be.
Yeah. And those movies, again, back to the early aughts, because those movies did start coming out in, like, the early-ish 2000s.
Yeah.
What a, like, perfect collection of... people whose careers and still are.
Halle Berry was in there. Like
Halle Berry.
All the culture. All X-Men had all the culture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
X-Men had all the culture and was creating culture.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite or a least favorite?
Jean Grey is my favorite. I get frustrated with Rogue. I'm like, Rogue, like, you can still have emotional connection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel for Rogue, but also this sort of I can't touch people. I don't know. It does start to feel like it's the same problem.
It's the same problem.
You got the same problems over and over.
It's a heavy-handed metaphor about like being not being able to feel ever and being connected to humanity. Like that's the isolation. So I appreciate that. And I love the idea that she could take anyone's powers. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
But she didn't like come. I never really saw a Rogue that came into her own powers where she's like, yeah, I'm stealing all you guys's stuff.
That would be a cool standalone.
Yeah, she was so timid. Yeah. It's like, go out there, like, ruin these people's lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would watch a Rogue standalone
movie. I would love that. It would be so tormented. Like, that's something that we can all relate to as humans. Like,
yeah, where it's like, I just can't get close to anyone.
Yeah.
I can't touch people.
I won't let myself get close to other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
X-Men had the best metaphors.
They had a lot of really good metaphors.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that is something that I want to talk to you about. But first, we gotta take a quick break.
Okay.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
back.
We're back.
We're back. And we're going to talk freaking metaphors.
Ooh, ooh. Okay.
One of the kind of hallmarks of X-Men is that they take on really heavy issues. Like Magneto is a Holocaust survivor.
Yes, that's a lot.
And they don't shy away from that.
No, they show it in all its glory. Not glory.
No, but
They show it.
As
a kid, I'm like, what is this? Like, I had no understanding of that.
Those movies are PG-13 and it starts in Auschwitz.
I know.
I was like, this is very upsetting and not PG-13.
Yeah, but that's how Stan Lee wrote it.
I know. It's how he wrote it. So they are always taking on these massive social issues. Is there one? I've been thinking about this a lot lately, and obviously we don't exactly know what Dark Phoenix is going to be about.
Mm.
But is there one that you feel like they haven't tackled that you would love to see X-Men take on?
The Me Too movement?
Yeah.
What would that be?
I don't know.
It'd be insane. Who's playing Dark Phoenix?
Sophie Turner.
Oh my gosh.
Sansa.
What the heck? I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yes.
That's great. I love her.
Sansa.
I hope the Jonas Brothers have a song in the movie because I love the Joe Bros.
Can you imagine if like she's
in it for you, baby. She's like turns into the Phoenix. That'd be awesome.
I saw someone tweeted the other day like, props to Sophie Turner. No English person has infiltrated American franchises like this since the Revolution.
I
like,
feel that.
She's X-Men, Game of Thrones, and the Jonas Brothers.
Like, iconic.
She's iconic.
Yes, it's going to be a great film. She can act like her ass off. Yeah.
Well, we said we weren't going to talk about Game of Thrones, but one of the like joys of that show to the end, I think, was watching Sophie Turner go from like a fine child actor who, you know, looked like what you thought Sansa looked like to one of the better actors on the show. Like
100% matured into her acting ability so well.
Yes. She got to like Lena Headey levels where she would just sort of arch an eyebrow and you're like, you're dead.
Yes.
You're in trouble.
She played that character absolutely brilliantly.
Yeah.
I could not replace her. And I hated Sansa at the beginning.
Same.
All did. Everybody. Because she's like this weak woman, but she grows into her own.
Yeah.
And just carries it with so much poise, but she's so young.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was having this conversation with someone the other day where I was saying I hated Sansa at first because she's like, I want to be a princess. And whoever it was like, well, she was like 12.
Yeah.
I had to think 12. About what was wrong with me that I, as an adult woman,
I hate this 12-year-old.
Hated this child.
I know. It's the misogyny.
Oh, God. It is the internalized misogyny. Yeah. I think an X-Men Me Too would be really interesting.
It would be, I couldn't write it. I would be the first person in line to watch it because I'd be like, how do you tackle that?
How do you tackle that in the world of X-Men?
Yeah. But Phoenix could do it because Phoenix would just blow everybody up.
She would just blast everyone away and be like, problem solved.
Exactly.
The patriarchy is gone because are all the men.
Exactly. Take that, human resources.
Take that.
Yeah. There are no humans.
Take that, HR.
Yeah.
Jean Grey as just an HR representative. Who's like, he did what to you? Give me 30 seconds.
She burns him alive.
Yeah. Last time you grab an ass in board meeting.
No.
No, that's not the punishment. Okay. So similarly, you in your comedy, I think, check out this segue.
Woo.
Thank you. You and your comedy, you take on, I would say that your comedy is political, or at least it's commenting on pop culture for sure.
It definitely is.
Yeah.
I wouldn't describe it as political, but I guess my existence as a black woman on this earth is political.
Sure.
So whatever I make has like an inherent, you know, message, an inherent point of view.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's like you take pop culture, current events, whatever is happening in the world.
Totally.
And you make comedy out of it, which I don't think everyone does. Like, not everyone is talking about, you know, Omarosa
or
like the White House and politics. And you do that, but you do it in a way that the only way I can describe it is like it's from this kind of slant. Like, you're not up there yelling at people about anything. It's very much in this like fun comedic way. So how do you balance the fun and the comedy with the seriousness of, like, is it in the topics that you pick to talk about?
I don't know. I think the way other people approach comedy by not talking about politics is also like a political choice.
True.
To ignore something is political. So to me, I'm just like absorbing my entire life in like 360 degrees and trying to express that through my art. So how do I do that? I just like live. I exist in the 21st century and I see Omarosa and I think this woman is so fascinating. This person who like uses race, like she wields it as a weapon. Mm-hmm. Like that's so fascinating to me. So I'm fascinated. I'm just fascinated by these like phenomena, and we're alive in such an interesting period in time. Like there's so much information at our access. So yeah, I just take the world in.
I think that Omarosa is such an interesting...
She's fascinating, right?
She is fascinating. Yeah. She is one of the few people to get in and out of the Trump administration and be pretty unscathed.
Unscathed, but what is she doing now? She's not in jail.
Like, that's a victory.
Yeah.
Because half of everyone who's associated with him, they're either in jail or like something, some horrible information because he only associates with criminals comes out. And she kind of like got in, got what she wanted, and got out.
Yeah, I read her book.
Did you?
I really did. Well, I listened to the audiobook on 4-speed.
Wait, which who, is the same is it thing. Her?
Yes, it's her.
Great.
Yes, and it's so wild because she's obviously this reality TV icon. She coined the phrase, "I'm not here to make friends." Did she coin that phrase? Yeah, no.
Let's get
something
it
like that. She coined a reality phrase that's like, "I'm not here to make friends," which is just wild to think that this is a pioneer of like this form that has changed the way, changed our politics, changed the way we experience each other, changed the way we change television.
Changed like, what we think is entertainment.
And exactly.
It's even changed like the foundations of the industry.
It's changed the foundations of reality, we could argue. Because this is someone who like manipulates reality for a living.
Yeah.
And we're watching that. People who manipulate reality.
And I think they manipulate reality and then they call it real.
Yeah.
When we all... I don't know, because I watch reality TV and I think a lot of people who maybe have been involved in making things fully understand that like none of this, like the camera is set up when they walk in the restaurant.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is fake, you know?
But what is real?
What is it?
Yes.
I don't know. It's like they create the story and everyone agrees that that's real and that's how it happened. And they all sign contracts saying it was real and you can't talk about it. And then what's to say that that isn't reality?
It is reality. It's totally. So I just think it's psychedelic. Like I love reality television because of that.
I love it. This is something we've talked about. I also love it. And I think it's the people who saw the opportunity that it is. Cause there are some people who definitely got sort of like used up and spit out by reality
TV.
It'll
ruin your life. In most cases, it usually does.
Ruin your life, ruin your marriage, ruin your children. But then there are some people who were like, I think that I understand how to manipulate this. Mostly women, I think.
Yeah.
We're just like, I see the opportunity in like branding and making a business out of this. And like, I don't think that the show will pay my bills. I think that the wine line that I create and I'm always drinking and marketing, they were like, oh, it's a commercial.
It's a commercial. It's all ads.
It's all ads.
Is it life ad? Like, are we living in a commercial? Because think about it. It's like with this super capitalist society, right? Like we're commodifying ourselves with personal brands.
Yeah.
Well, so that's what I take into my like art is I try to bring like, what is reality? What is perceived reality? What am I creating with my audience that's uniquely for this live experience?
Yeah.
Versus online or versus embedded.
Shout out to Baited.
Child. I know, Jackie, we've been doing it forever.
We've been doing it forever.
God bless.
Against all odds.
Against
Baited.
All odds.
It's my favorite thing.
I love it too. I love Baited because it's like, it's again, reality in the sense that it's like this constructed world where I'm like, okay, I'm going to make you look like a racist.
Yeah.
All the reactions are pure and honest and feel real. And that's why they're so funny is
Let's talk about, so just describe Baited really quickly.
So Baited is my web series that I made with Jackie. She's directed so many episodes and you were a guest.
Yeah, I was. I got baited.
You got baited. But I race bait my white friends and family and coworkers. And then black guys too, because I race baited Gary Richardson.
Yeah.
I didn't come here to set myself up.
This is society. Okay. Don't blame me.
No, this isn't society. This is your show. You control all the variables here.
Look, it's not scary.
Anyone can get baited. If you are a person on Earth, you will be baited for being whatever I don't like.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
I'm sitting here, But it is like, I think baited is a good example of what you're saying, where
totally.
It's like, I'm just going to create this reality in which I can like cut this and edit. And everyone who comes on knows that like, which is so crazy.
I know. It's surprising that anyone would agree to like fully submit to the fact that I want to make them look like a racist.
Yeah.
But that's the fun part. It's just like, okay, I'm a masochist and I'm going to do it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to do it. This sounds fun, even though I am going to walk away having said or done something that is fully racist.
Fully racist.
But I think you have to
But I guess it's like normal.
I feel like I'm in an episode of Beta Now.
I know.
Of all the things I almost.
Babe. No, to me, it's like normalizing the conversation about what is racist, right? Because we're living in this super racist world where no one is apparently racist except for people with like Klan hoods, which is, it's not realistic.
And that is like, well, we can all agree on that.
Yeah.
Except for them.
Yeah. It just doesn't make sense. So I'm like trying to make it a conversation that's like, okay, we all exist in this space. Let's discuss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah. This is my reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh God. Well, it's very fun. And
thank you. Yeah.
I can't wait to make more.
I know. So, God bless. Hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah. God bless. So I feel like we've talked about kind of X-Men and these social issues that they
totally
tackle. You do it too in your comedy.
Yeah.
Do you ever foresee an X-Men, like, could X-Men do comedy?
Could the X-Men do comedy?
Yes. Could there ever be like the
Beast
way
go out and do comedy?
Yes. Could we do like a romp, like an X-Men?
Yes.
Comedy.
Yes. Yes, definitely. Because they're so comedic. They're so silly. Like Storm is also an icon. I haven't talked about her enough, but I love like her white wig. Like it looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
And like, she's just gorgeous. So yeah, I think we could totally do an X-Men comedy. It's so close to comedy.
It's so close.
Well, it's a bunch of freaks in a house. Like that's real world.
Oh my God. Right? Just an X-Men like mock you.
Yeah.
Wait, what? I'm blanking. Mockumentary.
Has anyone done that in like a sketch?
I don't think
so. Oh my God, we should. Okay, no one take that idea.
No one take that idea. The X-Men confessional. It's just like Storm keeps leaving the refrigerator door open or something. Storm's it's not me, it's Jean. She opens it with her mind and forgets to close it or something. Well, you brought up Storm. Let's talk about.
I love Storm.
I remember that being like a bit, because we were both super young.
Yeah.
You were younger than I was.
I was zero. I was in
zero.
The womb.
Yeah. It was a big deal when Halle Berry
was
cast as Storm.
I know. It really was.
This was pre-Oscar.
It was after Oscar.
Yeah, pre or
it
post
was after
Monsters Ball. I think you're right.
It was after Oscar, yeah.
So she was, she was an Oscar she was, winning.
Yeah, she, I mean, Ian McKellen. We have Patrick Stewart. So Halle Berry with an Oscar, like iconic.
Yeah.
I want Storm to actually get her own. Does she have her own movie coming out?
I
want that
I don't
to happen.
Think so.
She deserves it. I think she's so fascinating. Like, where did this ghost come from? Like, she controls the weather.
Yeah.
Like, that is the closest you'll ever get to God.
Yes.
And this black woman, like, what is that saying?
You know what? That, okay, Me Too might be hard.
Oh, Me Too would be impossible and not great.
But I would love to see where they talk more about, like, you could, maybe this is insane, but you could tackle issues of like intersectionality.
Totally, race issues, like,
yes, where she's like, excuse me, I'm a black woman and a mutant.
Yeah.
Everyone can shut up about their problems.
Oh, yeah.
You
That'd
know?
Be great. She'd be like the Martin Luther King of the X-Men movement.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, where she's like, I'll lead you all. I never thought about that, but yeah, they totally could.
They totally could, and they'd kill, I think that they would absolutely kill it. Like, because it's God is a black woman. Like, that's the metaphor with Storm. So I think that that could be really interesting.
Small question. How do you feel about the fact that every time she uses her powers, she has to, that eye thing has to happen?
It's like warging with Bran.
That's what it looks
like. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of badass because you see the electricity move through her. Like, you can never look more alive than like how she looks dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can never look more alive than how she looks dead.
I don't know, because she's like white hair, white eyes, and she's like,
Yeah.
You know, but she's actually consuming like the climate.
Yep.
Yeah. You think she could stop climate control? We need to do
a
climate control
too.
X-Men. Where the X-Men stop climate change.
Yes. That's it. Okay. So we're going to do Me Too, where part, like one of the main storylines is Storm and intersectionality.
Yes.
Then we're going to do climate change.
Yes.
Do they stop it or not?
I think that they do stop it.
Yeah.
Through the power of love.
Yes. Okay, we're just writing X-Men fanfic.
I know that. And this is free, folks.
Yeah. This is free. Okay. We started to do it, but favorite X-Men.
Favorite X-Men, Jean Grey.
Jean Grey.
Well, Jean Grey is the baddest bee.
She is the baddest bee.
Yeah. By far.
Yeah.
Because she has all the power. She has all these men hankering for her. And mm-hmm. she is stronger. She's the strongest.
She is the strongest.
Yeah,
she's out of control.
I love Jean Grey. Who are other faves? I like Magneto. Magneto's great because in the movies, someone will visit Magneto in prison and he'll be like, 1 second, and he'll take out all the metal from his body and be like,
Yeah.
It's
Stop
awesome.
Stop visiting Magneto in
exactly.
prison.
Exactly. Yeah, never do it.
He's got to be in solitary.
Never do it. Yeah.
Do you have a least favorite?
A least favorite X-Men. Well, Mystique.
Yeah.
Mystique is kind of shady.
Mystique is shady.
Yeah. Mystique also has a really fantastic power, though. Like, yes. Being able to turn into everything. When she turns into the president, that's awesome.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
That is sort of like, she is secretly always moving plot lines along.
Oh, 100%.
She can just change what she looks
exactly.
like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Who's the spades guy? Don't love him. The guy with the cards? Gamblet?
Oh, Gambit.
Gambit.
Yeah.
Fine. You're fine, dude. Like,
there are a lot of X-Men who it's like, yeah, I'd be pretty pissed if that was my power.
I would be so disappointed.
If I had to deal with all the bullshit of being a mutant, but that was my thing.
No, the hardest power is when you look like a freak, like Beast.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, man, you really got it bad.
Yeah. You can't hide this.
You can't hide it.
Yeah. Wolverine. Oh, Logan, did you like it?
I like the idea of Logan. I think that he's a character that needs to play off of other X-Men.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he's more interesting in relation to other X-Men.
I think that's true with most of them.
Yeah.
I don't find them to be particularly complex.
Yeah.
I think the women need spinoffs, though. Like, I think that there's something interesting there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Okay. Well, Z-Way, this has been such a pure pleasure.
Oh, my gosh.
Is there anything that you want to plug?
Yes, always.
Do it, please.
I have a live show at the Bell House on June 1st at 7 p.m.
Great.
I'm having professional dancers, professional in quotes, dancers.
Wait, are they? Because I did see on Instagram.
I have backup dancers, yeah, for my three songs, Make It Clap for Democracy, Ponderosa with Omarosa, and From Melania to Sri Lanka. Yes, my hit singles, thank you. Charting on iTunes, yes, very nice. Pop show, it's called Pop Show. Yeah, the lineup is stacked. Cole Scola, Marsha Belsky, Rachel Sinnott.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, Friends Who Folk.
That is a great.
Alex English. Yeah, it's going to be hot.
That is a great show.
Yeah, it's going to be
okay,
really fun.
Well, everyone check that out. Check out old episodes of Baited. Check it all out.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me. This was so fun.
Thank you guys for listening. If you like what you heard here, and I really hope you did, because you listened to the whole thing. So if at any point you didn't like it, I don't know, you should have just stopped. But hopefully you liked what you heard. Please subscribe, download, tweet at me, tweet about the podcast, send links to your friends. Is that a thing? I send links sometimes to my friends, so send them. But please, you can listen to us wherever you get your podcasts, so do that. We have so many amazing guests this season. You're not going to want to miss any of them, so just subscribe right now. Save yourself the heartache of realizing that you missed one of your favorite comedians on Boarding Party.